Let's finish up the demands of the great journey quickly. The second, have we done the second one? We have only done one, right? Second one. The demands of the great journey is second, instructions. Now, there are two purposes for instruction. So you can see the scripture that we read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Instructions. A man that can still get instructions from God is a very, very powerful man. As a matter of fact, if God wants to bless you, are you with me? If you have me, say amen. If God wants to bless you, if God wants to lift you up, if God wants to make you a sign to a generation, if God wants to make you a mystery, if God wants to produce tremendous results through your life, when God wants to release power, when God wants to use you to conquer Satan, all he needs to do is just to give you one instruction. And all you need to do is just to obey it. What will God do? He will give you an instruction. Obeying that instruction is the secret to power, secret to victory, secret to glory, secret to blessing, instruction. And it doesn't matter what you do, if you don't have obedience, it's wasted. Now, the reason, have you heard people tell you that obedience is better than sacrifice? That, and they keep teaching obedience, keep teaching obedience. Have you not heard it? Is there any obedience without an instruction? Is it not when you are given an instruction, then you are expected to obey? Are you getting the point? Now, there is something, a mistake that people make. They think instruction comes easily. God is not a talkative. Sometimes in your whole lifetime, God just spoke 7 times to you. And you lived on this earth for 80 years. How many times did God speak to you? 7 times. Several of those things, you come and say, I heard God clearly. I heard, you didn't hear anything. It is what he said 3 years ago. That time you met me, that's what he's still saying. Are you getting it? His instruction. But every day, 2 things opens up in God's instruction. The first thing that opens up is the direction in it. The second one is clarity. Are you getting the point? So when clarity opens up in God's instruction, you will not say, God spoke to me today. No, he didn't speak to you again. It is what he spoke before. Are you getting the point? Just that this new opening brought more clarity. Listen. Mere instructions is not enough. First of all, there is no possibility of obedience without an instruction. Jasper, are you getting the point? And the measure, show me a scripture. I want to show you a scripture quickly so that you will understand what I mean. Show me Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Watch. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Watch. The point is now in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Why? Why? See here, bro, you don't know the will of God. Just because you are born again, just because God even told you something about what he wants to do doesn't mean you don't know it. I will show you some things. Watch. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why don't you need to be conformed to the world? And why do you need mind renewal? Are you with me, sister? The scripture said, don't be conformed to the world. And not just that, be ye transformed. Why? He said, that, somebody said that, ye may be able to prove. This is like an experimental class. What do you study in the university? Kai. The people that didn't do sciences in the university, why? What did they actually do there? Joshua, what did you study? Huh? Computer science.
Yeah.
How do you now become motivational speaker? The biochemist. Now go school. What do you study, woman of God?
Psychology.
For scientists, I speak unto scientists. I know the other people will not like me. Huh? You better like me. There are several things you have learned. Huh? Who is a scientist here? Are you a scientist? Huh? No wonder. Look at your head. Huh? Okay, this is a biochemist. Listen to me. This thing is a lamp. If you see the word proof, what it means is test. Somebody said test. Have you gone to a lab before? Eh? Chemistry lab. If you are entering there, you can't conduct a test without a test tube. Is it not true? Anybody going to lab is going there for experiment. And when you are going for experiment, you want to verify facts. Some of the things you are testing in the lab, they have already told you. In fact, some intelligent people, they can cram the team and come and write it and tell you that they have tested it. Are you getting the point? Now, they are trying to make you pass through a testing to prove something that you have learned is theory. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The scripture is trying to say that you cannot truly test what is the will of God for you until there is transformation. That's what he's saying. He said, do not be confused. If your life looks a lot like the world, you don't know the will of God. Even if God come and tell you that you are going to marry a pastor, that this is your husband, you still don't know your husband. You know your husband to the degree that your life is not conformed to the world and that your life is transformed. The more transformation you experience, the more you go deeper in your capacity to test. Your test tube, if you are not living, if you don't have a transformed life, you will be like one of the practicals we did in UNN those days. Hey, my God. We entered the lab. Everywhere was smoking. Meanwhile, they told us that ammonia used to bring out one gas. Meanwhile, all of us on the table, there is gas coming out. Am I the only one it has happened to? There is gas coming out. I don't know which gas is my own and which gas is his own. What we know is that gas is what? Everywhere. That is what happens to you when there is no transformation and you are testing the will of God. Gas will be everywhere and you will not know which one is your own and which one is not your own. You will be praying, and you will hear a voice and we tell you, this is your wife, and you say, it's my wife, God told me. You don't know your wife. There is no transformation. We check you after 2 years. The same thing that was your weakness is still your weakness after 3 years. You don't know. The same way, the things you lost, you are still the same thing with the world. Your mindset is still with them. You can know the will of God if your mindset is still the same with the world. Are you getting the point? Naturally, your worldview, that is what we call worldview, the way you naturally, generally see things, no matter what it is still being shaped by your mind. So if your mind is still consistent, you still think about church the way Davido thinks about it. Are you getting the point? I know it. Where you do your devotion is under the freeze page. That's where you do your morning devotion. I hope you know the guy teaches some things. Pastor Reno, that's where you do your afternoon devotion. You see, that kind of person can never know the will of God for his life. Are you getting the point? You can't. The reason why you cannot is because the worldview that he's presenting is not from the scripture. It is from studying many, many mystical books. You have not finished reading the Bible and you are following a man suggesting mystical books to you. How then will you know the will of God? You don't know the will of God when problem comes. Your mind needs to be transformed. Listen, there are people that started praying to know the will of God when they wanted to enter the university, or when they wanted to marry, or when they wanted to travel abroad, or when they wanted to start ministry. No, you have to live in the will of God so that when a demand comes, you can administer the will. There are some people that pray to know the will of God. There are some people that live there. And that means that person can make... It takes a heavy price for a man to live in the will of God. And that means every of your step, your thought is galvanized. Such a man, his thinking cannot be wrong. And that is what we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the last three verses. He said that he that is spiritual judges all things. In the next verse, he said, how? Why is he able to judge all things? The reason is because he has the mind of who? Christ. Show me my scripture, Jesus. And be not conformed to this word, that he may prove what is that good, acceptable, and what? This scripture is not trying to say that there are three kinds of God's will. No. It's trying to say that there are three characters of the will of God. You come and say there are three types of the will of God. Number one, good will of God. Number two, acceptable. Number three, perfect. No. The will of God is good, acceptable, and what? Perfect. It means that these are the three characters that if you want to know whether something is the will of God, test it on these three things. Is it good? You mark. Is it acceptable? You mark. Is it perfect? You mark. Unfortunately, are you with me? You cannot be able to test the goodness of the will of God without transformation, or rather, your capacity to test how good this thing is in context of the will of God is dependent on your measure of transformation. And that's why you can come and say that God told you, and then you meet your pastor and tell him what God told you, he will tell you to leave it. Meanwhile, you prayed for 6 months before you met him, and then you told him, he thought about it for 1 minute and told you to leave it. It is simple. His level of transformation and experience in God has taught him that this is not consistent with God's will. It's not consistent with God's way. Are you getting it? If you heard me so far, say amen. I want to show you another place to confirm this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 9, sorry, not 19. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, that is their faith in Christ Jesus. This is talking about a church that was brought to faith, and how they have given themselves to the new things that they have been brought into. He said, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. There is a prayer and there is a desire. Are you getting it? What is this prayer and desire? Let's read it. What is his prayer and desire? One, two, ready, go. That he may be filled with the knowledge of his will. What? In all wisdom. And you see it. There is the will of God and there is the knowledge of the will. This knowledge is not a mental thing. It seems as if God is bringing you deeper into what he said is his will concerning you. He said there is only one way a man can enter it. When there is an administration of wisdom and spiritual understanding, a deeper entrance is made into what is called the will of God. And that is why the more you know God, the more you understand his will for your life, even in the context of your calling and ministry. There is a clarity that is brought to the instruction that God gave you 5 years ago, simply because you grew. When you grow in God, there is a clarity that is brought. And that is why that no matter how much you pray, God will not tell you everything about your destiny now. No matter how much you fast, you will notice that there is a consistent unveiling. That unveiling is not necessarily tied to years. It is tied to spiritual development. And the two tests of this spiritual development is written here. He called it what? He called it wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. When a man's wisdom and spiritual understanding increases, in the same measure, are you seeing it? His knowledge of the will of God increases. How wise are you in the will of God? How much do you comprehend spiritually the will of God? This is the question of spiritual men. A carnal man can't answer this question. Let's pray for 1 minute the prayer of Paul. Ask God, help me to understand your will for my life in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't want to be on the surface. All the time I will hear something, I will think you are the one that told me, When I now go and do it, I will find out that you are not there. Some of you, you are in the night praying and you say, I heard a voice, do this for me, start prayer for me, do the only for you to start and nothing happened. It is because there is no clarity in it. There is something missing. Wisdom and spiritual understanding is lacking. And Paul said, I desire and I pray. That means prayer has something to do about this matter. Oh brother, pray so that you will not be confused. Pray so that you will not make mistake. Since the day we heard it, we kept praying so that you will not fall. We kept praying, hoping that you understood everything that God was saying. We kept praying, hoping that there is a spiritual understanding ministered to you that is bringing you into deeper clarity of the voice of God concerning your life. You need God to speak in clear terms. Three more seconds. Pray. Clarity is coming to you. I see the spirit of wisdom ministering clarity to people. You are receiving clarity on several issues of your life and destiny. There is clarity coming. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is in this house now. Even as you are following me online, receive clarity, receive understanding, receive clarity, receive understanding, receive clarity. Jesus, take advantage, piping, take advantage, piping, take advantage, piping, take advantage. Your power is in your obedience. And a man cannot obey when there is no instruction. A man can only obey to the tune that he has discerned clarity in the instruction. The third demand of the great journey is comfort. Listen to me. There is nobody that can survive the journey without comfort. The road is rigorous. It's too terrible. Remember the man we are using as a case study. This is Elijah. Do you know Elijah, Jasper? Do you know who is Elijah? The scripture said in the book of James, he said, Elijah is a man of like passions. Elijah is beyond a man. He is a system in the spirit. Elijah. The same Elijah, that great man, a day came, he said, I'm not better than my fathers. He gave up. One of the things that was missing in his life is comfort. A man without comfort will certainly give up. He will give up. Before Jesus left the face of the earth, there are one of the key promises he made. In fact, he made one key promise. He didn't make the promise, he gave the promise. Are you getting the point? The promise he gave is also a person. And that person is the person of the Holy Spirit. My point is this. That promise Jesus made also had a name, and he was called what? The Comforter. The Comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. It is a terrible thing to leave a man comfortless. It is because Elijah thought there is no comfort. It is because he thought he was comfortless that he came to a point. He said, I only remain it. Are you seeing it now? He thought there was no more, there is no way out. He ran to that mountain because there is no more comfort. There is no more comfort. When he arrived there, the first voice that spoke to him said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah did not tell him, I have finished my work. I have kept the faith. Now remaineth unto me a crown. And not just to me, to every other person that believed. No, Elijah didn't say that. He said, I was jealous for you. I was jealous. But the woman said, she will kill me. And I ran. And only I, and I only remained. He has not finished the assignment, and then he ran. He didn't finish. He ran away. Ah. Why? Somebody say comfort. Has it not happened to you? Several days you woke up at Aba and wonder who called you. You pray, pray, pray. Inside your prayer, Satan came and attacked you. You say, who even called me to this ministry? Who even called me? Who called me? Do you know how many? Without the comfort, do you know? People like us would have given up 100 times ago. Listen to me. No man is too strong. And the first thing God comforts you with is his mercy. The scripture said, it's not of he that willeth. It is not of him that what? Runneth. There is a comfort you need. It is the comfort of God's mercy. A day will come, you have done your best. But your best will not be enough on that day. You need mercy. A day will come, you have done all you know. All you know is not enough. You need mercy. It's not of him that run it. It is not of him that will it. But it's of God that what? Lift up your hands. Pray for 30 seconds. Say, comfort me with your mercy. In the days that I've come to the end of myself, in the days that I've come to the end of my ability, even if I come to the end of my strength, comfort me with your mercy. Elijah is a great man, a man that can stand the tide and turn the hands of darkness. The man lifted his hands and fire fell from heaven. The whole nation turned in one day because of his prayer ministry. But a day came, there was no comfort. Elijah did not turn back because of the prophets of Baal. I put it to you, he did not even turn back because of Jezebel. He turned back because comfort was lacking. This man is used to confronting prophets, but a day came, he said, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. He came to that place, and strength was no more enough. Power was no more enough. Miracles were no more enough. Money was no more enough. He needed a comfort, a ministry divine, a ministry inner, a ministry deep, so that we will not give up. What made the apostles to survive all the sufferings and persecution is not because they are anointed. Jesus told them, I will not leave you comfortless. It is because of the deep work of the Holy Ghost bringing comfort to them that made them survive all those things. Brother, you cannot survive the seasons of travail, of trial, of persecution, of process, of bettings in your calling and destiny until you receive a deep measure of comfort to the Holy Ghost. The men that survived did not just survive because they were strong. They survived because God comforted them with his mercy. Comfort me with your mercy. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come. I will come. I will come. I will come. We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait. We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river.
favor. We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. Help us, Jesus, help us. Help us not to give up. Help us not to be frustrated. Help us not to be disenchanted. Don't leave us alone. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. Jesus, comfort us. Comfort us. In the days that our strength cannot carry us, in the days that we have done all we know, let your mercy make up the man. Let your mercy make up the man. Let your mercy make up the man. We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait. We wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. By the river, we wait. We wait to see your face. Some of you, it might take 5 years before God comes. You need comfort to last. To last. It might take 10 years. You need comfort to last. It might take 10 years. You can only survive because of comfort. Even if it's 1 year. Second comfort is that the Lord will comfort you with his presence. The scripture said, even when you are passing through the fire, I will pass through there with you. Have you not wondered? The three Hebrew guys, if I'm God, I would have saved them before the fire. But God did not save them before the fire. He allowed them to. He will allow us. He will allow me to enter the fire. There is no other way. He has allowed us to enter the fire many times when we have thought that there are other options. We even suggested the option to God. Have you not suggested to God? I suggested to God the option. I told him I will not fail you. I will not do any. I will not. He said, we can't remove the fire. The only thing we can do is that in the fire, I will be there with you to show you that if there is any other way, we would have shown you that way. So I will be with you there so that you know I didn't abandon you. That even in the fire, I was there. So inside the fire that was cooked to burn 7 times, God created a cooler for them. There was an air conditioner inside that fire, and they passed through the fire, but he was there with them. It was a comfort of his presence. A comfort. Hard times, terrible things. Challenges is not really the important thing. It is whether God comforted you. Huh? Listen to me. Sometimes God can set up a 50 days fasting to just comfort you. Because there are things that can come around your life that if it is not for that fasting, it will shake your faith and you will backslide. So God used that 50 days, 40 days to build the structure of comfort by his presence. I remember when my father died. When my father died, all my relations, my uncles, all of them, they escaped. In fact, many of them came back the night before the burial. The night before the burial. For God's sake, if it is not because God helped me, I don't have any business to be speaking on such matters. It is those men that should take it up and then come and tell me what they are doing. I will just be there so that we'll be doing it together because I'm the first son, not because I should carry it. It is our people that dig the grave. It is our people that put my dad, my father, in the mortuary. Are you getting the point? It is brethren in ministry, in the church, that contributed small money that we used to bury him. In fact, many of them were around when we fixed the burial. They left. They never came. It so happened that the period my father died is January like this, and we are doing our 50 days. I took my father January 10, 2021. Put him at the mortuary at Nnamdi Azikiwe University Teaching Hospital. Dr. Samuel was with me that day. Came out from there, came here and preached. You can only do that if you are comforted. I saw my mother the day they were burying my father. And she was strong. I knew that she was comforted. That comfort is not in limbo. She has been fasting from December till that January. So you see, massive God has gone to her soul and removed the capacity to grieve like somebody that doesn't have anyone. Because indeed, that's what Satan did. I looked around. Who do I have? Nobody. When I say nobody, I'm not exaggerating. When I say nobody, I'm not exaggerating. The people that should even be some people, I expecting you people to perish so that the place will become desolate. But the wilderness and the solitary place shall be made glad for him. The parched land shall spring forth with waters. He shall cause rivers to flow in the desert. The dry places, they shall be a fruitful field. The fruitful vine, fruitful field shall become a forest. Just let the presence descend on it. The days that seem as if they are obsolete, we experience the revival of God. Revive us in the midst of the years. Remember your covenant, O God. Forget not the tokens that you gave our fathers. It is in the dark places that we saw you, and your word came to us. When Satan seems as if he's quenching us, bring your comfort to our heart. Remind us that your word doesn't fail. Let your presence never depart from us. Let the intensity of your hand increase in our life as a proof that you are with us. No matter what we pass, let your presence be a proof that you have never forsaken us. It doesn't matter what we pass through, let your presence abide with us. Let the world you told me in darkness, let it come to light. You told me I will never leave you nor forsake you. This might happen, but until we come, never man will be able to stand before you. For the land that you step your feet have given to you to become yours. That is the word of the Lord. And his presence comes daily to become a comfort, to prove to you that he can never lie. There is a one that can never lie. And we believe in him, and his presence comes daily as a testimony to the fact that he can never lie. These two immutable things shall come no lie. His words cannot fail, and we believe him. We believe you, O God. We believe him. We believe him. Comfort us with your presence. when all hope is gone, when all men have deserted. Comfort us with your presence. Jesus said, listen, if the presence of God doesn't comfort you, you can't do anything. We are doing 50 days of pain. I came and preached that day. And you guys here will bear me witness. Those of you that have been with me for a while, I did not miss one day of 50 days, did I? Including the day I buried my father. Including the day I buried my father. I made sure all the funeral rites closed before 6. And they were leading prayer. I came out from that burial, I came here and preached again. Somebody say comfort. You can't last the journey without comfort. I am not stronger than you. I am comforted. The thought comfort you need is the comfort of men. You see, the language of Elijah. Show me that first. Kings chapter 19. The reason why many of you will survive process is because you are here in Sabo and you have Joshua with you, you have Dennis with you, you have Jasper with you. Part of the reason Dennis stayed is because Jasper is here. Part of the reason Jasper stayed is because Ugochukwu is here. Are you seeing it? Part of the reason you stayed is because of your sisters that is here. If you are the only one, you will cry like Elijah. I only is in many. You would have cried that. You need the comfort of men. People that is passing life process. Satan, are you getting the point? That is how Satan was not able to break the apostles, the first apostles. The Bible says when they beat them, when they did, they go into their what? Company. They go into their company. You need a comfort of men. When you wake up in the night, after 2 hours of night prayers, you use 1 hour and comfort yourself. You comfort yourself. This person speak about his own. This person speak about how he's in Port Harcourt and it is like this. This person speak as how he's at Aba. Are you getting the point? And when you finish, you comfort. You will now know that you are not special. Or rather, your own is not peculiar. This is what happens to people that have chosen the path of righteousness. Are you getting the point? Say the comfort of men. I don't want you to say, Lord, I pray, bless me with the comfort of men, because he has blessed you here. Especially some of you that is in Sabo and Beterama. You literally became who you are now because of your sisters. Is it not true? Literally. Some of you learn prayer, consistency. Because you see a sister that entered Beterama that you necessarily, in the beginning, look as if you are stronger than the person. Suddenly. And you know the person doesn't have money. You know the person, the parents have forgotten her. Many things are happening. Yet the person didn't give up. You look at your own, you are complaining. No? You are complaining, but where you are complaining, there are at least 10 people that you are better than. Is it not true? With your complaint in Sabo, there are people you are better than. You are way better than them, and they are here and they are thriving, they are growing. In this, as you are complaining, this one happened to me. Some people abandon their admission. They abandon what they are doing in Ukraine and came here and they want to learn. Not one. It's not one person. One, two, many people that abandon many things and they came here. As you are saying, Lord, now that I left my work, my job. You are not the only one that left your job and work. I can tell you many people that told me that they resigned their work this year, that it is disturbing them from pressing into their destiny. You are not the only one that resigned. There are several other sisters that resigned. When you speak together, when you speak, the Bible said, when they spoke one to another, the book of remembrance was opened. There is a comfort that comes from men. Look at it. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. What did he say? Let's read the last part together. 1, 2, ready, go. That's enough. Somebody say, an eye, even I only. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like an eye and even I only. Let us pray for 1 minute. Lord, wherever there are companies scattered in the earth, bring us together and create one heart in us, so that a company of men comforted in oneness, unity and love will be created, so that no one will give up, because they are in need of comfort that comes from brethren, them that is passing through the same thing. That is the reason for the letters that is in the scripture. When Paul writes letters to the Philippian church, he writes letters to the Corinthian church. He's telling them what is happening here, so that you will not think that what is happening to you is only peculiar to you. That is what Peter was saying. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I'm going to end here. But let me just mention the, and trust that the Holy Spirit will help you to do further research. The last need, according to where we read, for this great journey is the demand of encounters. The demand of encounters. Brothers and sisters, my life was normal until I had an encounter. Very, very normal. Very, very normal. It is encounter that changes everything. If not, you will be in vicious circle. You are just like another Christian girl. Meanwhile, trapped within you is a great calling. It takes an encounter to precipitate that thing. Huh? It takes an encounter. I was a very normal Christian. I was one of the best in the church. Until one day, a friend called me, 2011, the 2011 or 2012, and said, "Let's go to Vet Mountain and fast." Which school do you go to? Huh? I want somebody that went to UNN. Raise your hand. You went to UNN? Like Nsukka or UNEC? I want Nsukka. Did you do 100 level at Nsukka? Good. Watch. Did you go to Vet Mountain at all? You are not a complete student. If you climb to Vet Mountain, there are two observatories that is on that Vet Mountain. Those two buildings were built before the Civil War. Around the Civil War, rather, it served for observatory during the Civil War. There is the first building, then there is the second one. That our fasting took place in the second one. That second one is the around the place you either find serious people seeking God or cultists. These are the two categories of people you find around that place. Justice, you have been to Vet Mountain, right? Justice is a man that wandered in the forest. He wandered. In the night, when others are going home, he is going to lawn tennis. With this, his tongue. He'll be joining. You know, when I was in second year, they collected my phone at lawn tennis. By fourth year, after this fasting, when I came down, I went to lawn tennis. I was waiting for who we collect. I never saw anybody. I don't know why. Somehow, Satan knows when you are ready to confront him. He will stop coming. I'm telling you. I was using style to look for those guys that collect phone. I never met them. And that time they collected my phone was 7:30 p.m. After that 400 level. You know the time I go to lawn tennis? 2 a.m. in the night. 3 a.m. I'll go to... You need to know what we are talking about. 2 a.m. I will go there. And I will be... From 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning. I will go and take my bath and go to to class, my head will be smoking. Smoke will be coming out. Every day. Any day I miss it, I'll have to make up. I went to Vet Mountain, me and my friend. He was Castle Vice President those days. He came and called me, he said, Edu, let's go and fast. I remembered Christmas rice, because it's Christmas. 17th of December, he said we are going to go on 19th. I remember Christmas rice, Christmas chicken. Friends, phones, calls, visitation. When I looked at it, I looked at my life. How I will continue one more day without an encounter? Be gone, oh food, oh friends, until I touch God. I will not see. That's how David entered where he said, I will not give sleep to my eyelids, nor slumber to my eyes, until I create a tabernacle for God, a resting place. There is a determination in your heart that opens chambers of encounter. You know, you can fast without determination. You can fast without. There is this thing in your heart that makes you see your journey in God as the only option. You have not seen this thing we are doing as the only option. That's why you have not had several kinds of encounters. If this one doesn't work, your father still has money. You are still intelligent. If this thing doesn't work, you still have your master's certificate. Is it not true? Are you not an MSc woman? Are you not going for your doctorate? So, me and you, we are not the same. You are a big woman. Me, I'm not. Me, I'm a simple man. Are you getting? I need to touch. I need an encounter. Somebody that has masters, are we at the same level? December 19th, 20th December, 21st December, 22nd December, 24th December, 25th December. In the morning, we came back from the Vet Mountain. I've never done it in my life. Nothing, just a gallon of water, some messages, and then books, jotters, and all that. We were soaking it, praying. Sometimes I will stand up to walk, I will stagger, fall back. Something will tell me, go back home. I will say, let me die. It's better I die than not see God. It's the use of life. After 5 days, I came down. When I came down, I met one of my friends. He told me, he didn't know where I came from. He told me, where are you coming from? Something happened to you. Your face is shining. If that's the only thing I heard, I know that this thing works. Huh? You know, that is how the Holy Ghost woos you. As soon as I heard your face is shining, I knew there is something in this. That the reason why I have not had encounter is because I'm not willing to go far enough. It was from there that I heard the voice. And God told me, give me a fasted life. I fasted three, four, five days every month for 13 months. And on January 2014, before the strike just ended, I was in my room. Room 313 in Njoku. In the evening, around 6 to 8 p.m., suddenly, are you with me? Pray for 1 minute. Say, God, give me an encounter that is needed for my destiny. If you don't have an encounter, your life can't open. There is a kind of calling you will have. What we open it is an encounter. There is a kind of destiny, a kind of ministry. What we open it is an encounter. Until Jesus came to deliver Jonah, when John laid hands on him, the scripture said, and the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him. Literally like a dove. From that day, Jesus was no more a carpenter. And the voice of God descended upon him and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He took an encounter. He took an encounter. He took an encounter to convert a carpenter to the voice of God in all generations. He took an encounter. He took an encounter to make a fisherman You need an apostle. He took an encounter. It's an encounter you need. Not more books. Not more theology. What you need is an encounter. You have known enough Bible. What you need now is an encounter. Cry for an encounter. Cry. Several seasons of your life cannot open without an encounter. Yes, you had an encounter before. You need another one now. One more minute, pray. And the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Hail, thou art favored." He said that the Spirit of the Lord God shall overshadow thee, and what thou shalt be pregnant with shall be called the Son of the Highest. He took an encounter. He took an encounter to make Saul, to make Paul a messenger of the kingdom. He took an encounter. That's what you need. It takes an encounter for your calling to come out. Several people have heavy callings. They say, "I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle." And you are not seeing it. It's not coming out. What you need is an encounter. Your healing ministry cannot start the way God showed you until there is an encounter. Cry for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I pray for you. May God set you up and set things up for you for an encounter in the name of Jesus. Whether what you need is to encounter men, encounter angels, encounter the Holy Spirit, encounter a scripture. What is important is that God will orchestrate your encounter for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you, all you need for your financial life to open is an encounter. Encounter with a man. That's what God told Saul through the mouth of Samuel. He said, "As you are living here, you will encounter some men." And I pray for you, as you are living here, you will encounter some men in Jesus' name. As you are living here, you will encounter the cherubic ministry in the name of Jesus. Some of you, angels will come and visit you, and they will stay. They will stay for 1 week, for 1 month. By the time they are through, you will become another person. Encounter with the fire of God's presence. Encounter with the ghosts of heaven. Encounter with the holiness of God. Encounter with the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Tomorrow is Friday. We meet again morning and evening session. 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. You are blessed. I confer upon you the blessing of the Lord Jesus. And if there is any need in your life, any expectation for which you came for here, I pray the Lord will grant it now in the name of Jesus. If there is any manipulation of Satan over your life, we break it by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord hear your cry and your prayer. May He remember you. May He remember your family. May His mighty hand bring you to the place of your expectation. May his words over your life never fail. May them manifest in their season. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. And amen. You are blessed.
We believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com. With accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.